From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a report on a troubling practice of trading women in India. But our lead comes from Washington, where earlier today, President Bush held a White House welcoming ceremony for visiting Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao. The president called China a great civilization, a great power, and a great nation. And he spoke about the importance of good relations between China and the United States.
The growing strength and maturity of our relationship allows us to discuss our differences, whether over economic issues, Taiwan, Tibet, or human rights and religious freedom, in a spirit of mutual understanding and respect.
The president also said he opposes Taiwan's plans for a referendum on independence, which Chinese authorities strongly condemn. Earlier, I discussed Premier Wen's visit with the director of the Center for Chinese Studies at the University of California, Los Angeles, Professor Richard Baum.
Premier Wen is among a group of relatively faceless bureaucrats who achieved some distinction administering the reform programs under first Deng Xiaoping and then Jiang Zemin. He was not a guy who stuck his neck out of the foxhole to attract fire. And in this way, he's very much like the president, Hu Jintao. The two of them together make a rather nice team, relatively uncharismatic, but relatively competent people.
The issue of Taiwan, this is a constant area of difficulty in U.S.-China relations. Let me just read to you. This is a senior U.S. official speaking Monday. Quote, "We don't want to see Taiwan moving toward independence. We also don't want to see the mainland moving towards coercion." Is this going to be okay for Premier Wen? Is that statement about current status of relations with Taiwan okay, or are they looking for something else?
I don't think it's going to satisfy him. In the last few weeks, the Taiwanese have made some overtures toward a more provocative posture. The president, Chen Shui-bian, has promised to hold a defensive referendum next spring at the same time the presidential election is held. And in that referendum, he has hinted that he would raise the question of future independence, although he backed down under American pressure, and he now says that he will simply hold a referendum on the question of Chinese missiles opposing Taiwan. But in either case, the Chinese have reason to be squirming and nervous. Any change in the status quo, as far as they are concerned, is unacceptable.
Do the Chinese believe that the U.S. actually militarily could send U.S. troops to defend Taiwan? Is that something politically that the United States leadership could do?
The Chinese aren't sure, and that's why they haven't attacked Taiwan. They can't take the chance, and that's why Premier Wen has offered a few carrot sticks en route to his meeting with President Bush. They released a few political prisoners the other day. They've signed some agreements that will involve greater American exports to China and things of that nature. So they want to get on the good side of Washington because they recognize that for at least the next 20 years, they will not be a strategic competitor of the United States.
Another difficult issue, the $120 billion trade deficit that the U.S. faces with China this year. The U.S. has announced plans to limit imports of some Chinese goods. How's that going to go over?
Very badly. The notion that there are going to be new import quotas on Chinese brassieres and various cotton textiles and fibers is regarded by the Chinese as a evidence of a double standard in American policy. We lecture them on openness and transparency and free trade, and then we turn around and we impose tariffs on steel and now on brassieres and other fabrics.
Does the president raise human rights issues when he talks to Chinese leaders?
The president will come under some pressure from his core constituency to raise issues of human rights. But these cannot be high on his agenda. The two most important issues are maintaining peace in the Taiwan Straits and preventing a trade war with China. Anything else has to be second to those.
Economically and increasingly politically, China is becoming the dominant player within Asia, supplanting Japan in the eyes of many. Do you think that the West has recognized the extent of this change, and is the West prepared to deal with it?
I think because China is an Asian country, its Asian neighbors are far more aware of its potential power than we are. It's the proverbial 800-pound gorilla. And in its neighborhood, it is the largest beast on the block. The Europeans, I think, are also coming to grips with it. The EU has engaged in a diplomatic effort with China that I think is perhaps more progressive and more clear-sighted than our own. We tend to still think of China in Cold War terms as an inefficient, ossified communist giant that really can't do anything right. That's not the case, and we need to wake up to the fact that China is going to be a peer competitor before too long, and we need to work toward a stable relationship with China.
Professor Richard Baum directs the Center for Chinese Studies at the University of California, Los Angeles. Professor Baum, thanks for coming in to speak with us.
It's a pleasure, Alex.